Amen. It is good once again to be able to come together to give back a portion of that which God has allowed us to prosper, to partake of the Lord's Supper, to sing praises unto the Most High, to pray, and that our prayers may be heard unto a God that we know is living. Amen. And to share His word, to communicate with one another the things that God desires of us to do. There are many times where we hear a sermon or we hear God's word, and it's not that we do not believe that what we hear is true. We just don't want to accept it. And then we have those that do not want to hear it at all because they do not believe that there is a God. And what can we say to them? How can we convince them that this world just didn't happen? That we have a creator, and He created all things, the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis. All things very good. And the word that we share with one another, it is His word. A word that we need to follow. A word that we need to make sure that our lives are representing. For you will see it again, the scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All scripture. It is His word, not ours, not our opinions, nor what we feel, nor what we think. It is what we know. We teach the word the way it is written because it is truth. We believe what we teach, and we teach what we believe. And it is God's word. There are many books that have been written by men, and those books are good for what they're supposed to present to people, I suppose. I have many over in my office, and there's a library over on the other side, and there are many books downstairs, and those books are filled with great information. And most of them have a copyright on them. That's where I come into a problem. Because they're also filled with a lot of scripture. Yes, these books that we call the Bible, God's Word, they also have a copyright and they also sell them. But we can print, rewrite the scriptures, and share it with others. And nobody will ever try to sue us, hopefully. But those other books that are filled with opinions, what I think, what I feel, even the commentaries that we use from time to time, it's just men breaking down God's word so we can better understand it. His word is simple. It's easy for us to get confused sometimes about what it says, but we can understand what it says. John 8:32, you can know the truth and the truth will set you free. Just that easy. And so we have to know that there are some men that don't like what they see in God's word, or they are appealing to the people. If you don't like what I preach, the only thing I can tell you is deal with it. is God's word. I'm not going to preach anything that's not in his word. It is his word that we need. I'm not going to tell you anything today that's going to make you feel good about yourself. I'm not going to tell you anything that's going to make you say, that preacher never offended me in any manner whatsoever. I'm not that guy. And I'm not going to stand before you and tell you things with a big smile on my face. I'm not that guy. If you don't like how I look, close your eyes and just listen to the word of God. Preaching, we don't need. That's what we're going to talk about today. It's a subject that we need to hear. Because there are some people that get mad when you tell them that they're doing wrong. There are some people that get upset when you tell them that you should not do that. There are some people that will leave and say, they never say anything about love. I'm preaching this lesson today because I love you. Jesus did not always say the things that the people liked. I'm not him. I'm just a servant of his. The Bible from Genesis through Revelation. Remember that first command in reference to do not. Man did. Remember in Revelation 21 where it says that these will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Those words will never change. We have to continue to look at those things and see what the result was or what the consequence was to the sin of man in the beginning and what the consequence of sin is going to be for man in the end. We have to look at those things. And then there are consequences for doing good as well. What Paul told Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, 1 through 5, 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5, is some things that we need to still hold on to today. And we need to hold on to these things because people do not want the truth. They want what they want, when they want it, how they want it. But Paul wrote to Timothy here and he says, I charge you. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Again, preach the word. You don't see opinions there, do you? What you feel, what you think, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. When you like it, when you don't like it. When they're willing to accept it, when they're willing to deny it, to reject it. Still preach it. You don't want anybody to say, hey, he didn't preach the word. He got up there and told a whole lot of jokes. He got up there and entertained. Preach the word. And it says here, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. These things are for a reason. Because men have messed up. Men have strayed. Men have tried to change the word of God and to fit them, to fit their agenda. They want the word to line up with their lives instead of their lives lining up with the word. So we have to preach it. He says, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time will come. Now we could all say that the time is here. That men are doing what they want to do, how they want to do it. So For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. A myth, an untruth, something made up, a preacher that gets fired for preaching the truth is a good preacher. I just want you to know that right now. I've got fired from volunteer work for preaching and teaching the truth. Had people mad at me. Let's stand before people and let's preach to them. And while you're preaching to them, they're listening and they're agreeing. But when you stop preaching and you start teaching, people get mad. Because as you're teaching, you want to ask them questions. You want to see where their mind is. You want to see where their heart is. And people get mad. You know, there is a difference between preaching and teaching, if you didn't know. And sometimes we mix both of those up together in order to get the message across to people. Well, I'm here today to proclaim to you the word of God. So that you may know what you need to do. And if it so be that somebody is upset because of what the word says, be upset. But don't be upset too long. Don't lose your life because you're mad at God. You're not mad at me. It's God's word. A lady told me one time, standing at the back door, she said, "You know, I don't agree with you." I said, "It's God's word. It's not me. It's God's word. It's what his word says. And if it's what his word says, we just might as well accept it. Because this is what we're going to be judged by, is his word." Then we find in verse 5, "And as for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." Now let's just step away from it for just a second here, okay? "And as for you..." This is the same person. Now, I want you to hear this. This is the same person that Paul told Timothy, "Have a little wine for your stomach's sake." He didn't tell him to get drunk. A little wine for your stomach's sake. He said, "And for you, be sober-minded." Now, we're not going to talk about drinking on the day, but I just want to put that in there. Sober-minded. You have to have a clear mind to do the things that God wants you to do. A lot of times, you know, preacher get up here drunk, he ain't going to tell you the truth. He going to make up some stuff. I'm not that preacher. I don't drink. I want you to know the truth. And I want you to know, we're not going to sugarcoat it. We're not going to sugarcoat it. I know, you know, you like donuts. You like your pastries, you like your cakes, you like all the things that have something sweet in them, but God's word is not sweet. To a point, Sister Linda. It's better than a honeycomb. All right? But we need to understand that we can't sugarcoat it. You go and you look at those verses right there. Verse 3 and 4 again. "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." You don't like what you hear? You can go somewhere where someone will tell you exactly what you want to hear. You don't like doing what God wants you to do? You'll find a place to go where they don't care what you do. Anything goes. You know what gets me is this. That you're mad at this congregation right here because they say that you can't do this and you can't do that. So you go to a congregation over here and you wind up fellowshipping with the congregation you left. Why did you leave? You know, the truth is not always the end thing, but it is the thing. It is what we need. We need the truth. Some preachers will not stand on the truth. Some will do whatever they want to do. Say whatever they want to say because they know that the people like it. Preaching smooth things. Smooth things. Things that's going to make you, oh man, I asked this question to someone the other day, and I think I caught them off guard. I said, what was the title of the lesson? And they said, let me think about that. And they thought about it for a while, and I started laughing. And I said, if you would have asked me that same question, I wouldn't have been able to give you an answer right away either. It's not so much as the title, but it's what's inside. It's what's inside. Again, most of your Bibles have Holy Bible on them, but you don't find the word Bible anywhere in here, do you? But the words that are in here is what we need. It's God's word. It's what He has breathed out. It's what He has inspired men to write so that we may know what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. In the book of Isaiah, the chapter is 30. Isaiah, the chapter is 30. Now, I want you to hear these words because these are men of God. These are individuals that God has selected in order to tell His people His word, to share with them the things that's going to save them. So you find here in Isaiah chapter 30, and let's just start with verse 8. Isaiah 30 and the verses 8. And now go, write it before them on a tablet and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come as a witness forever. For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Leave the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. Now, who has a problem right here? It's not God. It's not the one that's talking to them. He doesn't have a problem. The problem is with the people. They're the ones that's saying this. Tell us the smooth things. Let me give you something smooth. God is smooth. That's enough right there, isn't it? But what he says is this. They don't want to hear that. Don't tell us about the Holy One of Israel. We don't want to hear no more about Him. But He's the one that's going to judge you. Amen. Well, tell me about your God. My God should be your God. There's only one. The rest of them can't do anything for themselves. Amen. You have to carry them where they go. You have to set things up before them. But God has set something up before us, His Word. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And we need to accept it. Smooth words. You want something smooth? God's word is smooth enough. You want to put a question in the box out there? Put one out there. And if it has anything to do with God's word, we're going to talk about it. And if it don't have anything to do with God's word, we're going to throw it in the trash. Because what we need is the truth. And we need men to wake up and acknowledge that God's word is true. Verse 12, therefore thus said the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perseverance and rely on them, perverseness, and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be on you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And his breaking is like that a potter's vessel that is smashed so ruthlessly that among its fragments not a shard is found with which to take fire from the earth or to dip up water out of the cistern. I think people don't understand the destruction of God's word. You know, one of my favorite verses is when Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. You know, I said I wouldn't tell you what God says, but it's like fire shut up in my bones, and I just couldn't contain myself. I just couldn't hold it. I stick my hand in my pocket, and there's a hole in my pocket. If I put any change in it, the change is going to fall out. That's God's word in our hearts. That's just where it should be. It should just fall out. And we should just tell people the truth concerning the things that God wants them to do, and hopefully they will do those things. In Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 30. An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule at their direction. My people love to have it so. But what will you do when the end comes? Think about that. You love Rome. You love for the leaders not to lead you in the right way. But what's going to happen in the end? I already told you what's going to happen in the end. But I believe we need to read it. In Revelation chapter 21, and the verse is 8. Revelation 21, verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexual immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Smooth things we don't need. We need the truth. We do not need the truth sugar-coated. We need the truth taught plain and right, understandable, so that men may not have an excuse. Oh, I'm sorry, a reason. Because a lot of times people say, I don't have an excuse, but let me tell you why. You're giving a reason. A reason is an excuse. Go look it up. We need the truth. And the truth is what men are rejecting today. Preaching to please men. Preaching to please men. What pleases you? You know, we ask from time to time. And I say we. I'm not necessarily talking about you. I'm talking about me. What would you like to hear? Won't you preach a sermon on this? Or won't you preach a sermon on that? You don't talk about love enough. You don't talk about sin enough. Now, I try my very best to preach the whole counsel of God. Love, hate, hell, heaven. I try. If I'm not doing that, my apologies to you. But I'm going to preach the word. But I'm not going to preach to please men. I'm not going to say things to make you leave here every Sunday with a smile on your face. If I never step on your toes, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. If you're always saying good things about me, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I want you to talk about me. I want you to. And I want you to say, you know, that preacher, he said this, and you know, I don't think he was right. Okay, well, come to me. Don't tell them that. Come to me and let's open up God's word. Let's see who's right. What Paul did here in the book of Galatians chapter 1, Paul went to the people. He wrote them this letter because of what he has heard, the things in which they had ventured off into. And he says in Galatians 1 verse 6, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Now, you have money. And I tell you, take your money and put it in the bank. You take your money, you put it in the bank, and you're drawing interest on that money. Somebody else come and say, you need to take your money out of that bank. That bank is no good. Take your money and put it in the sock and dig a hole and put it in the ground. You say, that's a good idea. So what you do is you go down to the bank, you withdraw your money, you put it in the sock, you dig a hole, you put it in the ground. Of course, you cover it up, Pharrell. You don't want it to stay uncovered. But actually, you want it to stay in the bank, okay? Because it's drawing interest in the bank. These people, the Galatians, had what they needed. But they listened to someone to try to tell them a different way. A different way. He says in verse 7, not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. And if we have said, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Verse 10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. See, this is the word that the Galatians needed to take heed to. But Paul just didn't stop there. Paul went back to the Jerusalem Council. You go and read it in Acts chapter 15. Went back to the Jerusalem Council to talk about the matter. This different gospel that they were trying to present to the people, the gospel that they were trying to accept. He went back to the Jerusalem Council, and they had a meeting about this. They, after much discussion, much debate was given. The end result, you do not have to keep the law of circumcision. You do not have to keep the law of Moses. Do what God says. That's all you need to do is do what God says. I believe there were like seven things that they were told to do. And keeping the law of Moses and the law of circumcision was not one of them. Was not. Paul says, I'm not trying to please man. I'm going to tell you what's right. I don't care about making people mad. I'm going to tell you what's right. And that's what we need to do today. We need to tell men what is right. And we need to continue to try to convince them not to listen to men that do not have book, chapter, or verse. Stay with God's word. In Acts chapter 20, and the verse is 28, or let's go from 26 down through 28. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel. What is the whole counsel? I'm going to tell you when you're doing right. I'm going to tell you when you're doing wrong. I'm going to exhort you, but I'm also going to rebuke you. I'm going to instruct you according to God's word, by God's word. That's the whole counsel. I'm going to tell you how to get to heaven. I'm going to tell you how to get to hell. That's the whole counsel. You choose which way you want to go. Well, what did Joshua tell the people? You choose this day whom you will serve. And he ended that decree by saying, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. A choice needs to be made. Do you want the truth or not? You want the truth or not? It's all we need. It's all we need. Preaching all positive things. See, we don't really understand what positive is. When we say, you know, just preach the positive things. Preach the things that's not going to condemn me. Preach the things that's going to tell me that I can stay in the situation I'm in and still be pleasing to God. Teach me, preach to me that if I get in this watery grave and I come out, I can come out and do whatever I want to do. And I serve a loving God, a graceful God, a God that's going to forgive me. Not if you don't change. Not if you don't change. He's not going to forgive you. People say, You were baptized, but you say that you can still sin. God never said you can't. But he tells you if you do, confess your faults to him, and he's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. See, in 1 John 1:9, John wasn't writing to the world. He was writing to Christians, trying to explain to them, to get them to understand that you are going to fall from time to time. You don't have to, but if you do, confess your faults to him, and he will forgive you. Preaching all positive things. In Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah again was called, answered that call to be a prophet, to be a spokesman for God. Question, whom shall I send? Jeremiah said, here am I, send me. Well, are you willing to be a man like Jeremiah? I went to Isaiah. I'm supposed to have been in Jeremiah, but I'm talking about Isaiah. Jeremiah here in Jeremiah 1, verse 9 and 10. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the word... And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. My words. So Jeremiah, what you're going to be speaking is what I want you to speak. Who else came to speak what God wanted him to speak? Jesus. Everything that he said, he got from the Father. They wasn't his words, they were the Father's words. But I want you to understand, the word of God is the word of God. Do y'all understand that? Let me help you out a little bit, because some may be a little confused about that. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 1. The Word of God is the Word of God. And I'm making reference to the Father and the Son. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Don't need to say anything else, do I? Going back to Jeremiah 1. He says in verse 10, see, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. This is what I have done for you, Jeremiah. This is what you need to do. You need to listen to my words. You need to speak my words, the word in which I gave you. See, if we speak God's word, we won't be wrong. You know, men, a lot of times, they want to say, you're wrong. Then we turn and we look at them and say, you're wrong. And what we really need to be doing, we need to be opening up God's word to see who's wrong. Because it's not God. See, if we both have a different outlook on God's word, what we need to do is we need to go to the word and see who's right and who's wrong. Sometimes both of us may be wrong. And if that's the case, both of us need to change. But going back to 2 Timothy 3 and the verses 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Every good work. Not saying the things that the people are going to like, but saying the things that the people need. That's the work of an evangelist. To preach and teach the truth. I love it when men look at the Word of God and they see where a change needs to be made and they make that change. I love it when you hear about the growth of people coming from here to here, leaving the seat and going out to the streets to do the work that God has commanded us to do. Preach it when they like it and preach it when they don't. In season, out of season. That's always, isn't it? Amen. Always. The truth needs to be taught. And men need to open their ears and hear it, believe it, and apply it. If you're here today and you're not a Christian and you want to become one, hearing God's word is where it starts. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Believing that he came to this world in order to give his life, in order to save his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. He was born to die. And he says in John 8:24, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Okay, we hear, we've heard, we believe. Well, what must we do now? The Bible says that you must confess. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, if you confess me before men on earth, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. Except you believe I'm he, you will die in your sins. And then confessing. And then we have to repent. You know, thinking about repentance. Turning a 180. Going in a different direction. Our minds need to change. You know, people are looking for a change. And they're looking in the mirror. That's where the change starts, in the mirror. The change starts with you. God does not change. He will not change. We are the ones that need to change. He says in Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 5, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except ye repent. Have a change of mind. Have a change of heart. Go in a different direction. Quit doing wrong. And a lot of people say, I've done that. I've quit drinking. I've quit smoking. I've quit running women. I've quit cursing. I've quit doing all of these things. Okay, you haven't done enough. You're still not saved. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. The like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism saves. Amen. Galatians 3:27. As many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And once you come out of this watery grave, putting Christ on doesn't stop there. Doesn't stop there. Matthew chapter 28, after the commission there, he still tells them what they need to do. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you unto the end of the world. So now that you're baptized, you're being taught the things that are right, and you too must do the same. You go and you teach others, baptizing them and teaching others and baptizing them. It's an ongoing process. But most importantly, once you're baptized, once you're saved, remain faithful. Amen. Remain faithful. Faithful in studying the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you want me to tell you what studying to do for you? Studying God's word will allow you to grow. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow. Grow in the knowledge of Him. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, think about it very hard. Give it some serious thought about becoming a child of God, but don't think too long, for James says your life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. Yes, young people die. Middle-aged people die. Old people die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this to judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Maybe you're here and you are a Christian, but yet you have strayed away. You have not been that child that God wanted you to be or wants you to be. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for prayers and do what is right. If you're here in your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.